Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
Well, welcome, everybody. I am here today, Marta Kyle, and I have two beautiful guests with me from Generation Life, and I'll allow you to introduce yourselves.
I'm Anthony Yetzer, the executive director of the organization.
And yeah. I'm Kiara McGilvery. I'm the programs coordinator.
Yes, and we're so blessed to have you both with us today. And we're excited to hear a little bit about your mission and how you help guide our youth. I was saying before the program how your mission statement aligns beautifully with our mission statement. Kathleen McCarthy, who's the president of In His Sign Radio, is always emphatic about the issue of life and educating the both youth and adult populations on the importance of life from the womb to the tomb and in our Catholic faith. And you have a beautiful ministry, and we're here to hear all about what you do today.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that Villanova's moving in. So
yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's back to school time, and you had just finished your outreach at the beach, it was called. Yes?
Yes, beach outreach. Every summer, we take a trip down to Ocean City in Wildwood, New Jersey, and we have conversations with students on the beaches and the boardwalks. We just ask them, what do you think true love is? And then see where the conversations go from there. It's a really cool experience.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then what are your, in general, the responses that you receive from the youth? I would imagine that if, as you're just walking down the boardwalk, kids are in a different frame of mind at that point in the day. I don't know if it's day or night, but they're definitely in their social modes. They're in the peer pressure, the peer groups. And you might be catching them at a time. Like if you have them in the classroom, I would imagine that's a time where they're a captive audience. They're in a classroom. It's a different situation than outreach at the beach.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what do you find?
Yeah, we typically, a day of beach outreach looks like we do it for like 3 to 4 hours in the afternoon. And then we have a little break and we regroup to do the boardwalk in the evening.
Oh, okay.
So it's a different, it is definitely a different vibe depending on if you're on the beaches in the afternoon or the boardwalk in the evening.
Yes.
There's a different vibe depending on whether it's Ocean City or Wildwood.
Yes, sure. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We could tell you a ton of stories, but on the whole, it's really awesome because so many of the kids we speak to, they are just really open to hearing this. They're surprised a little bit at first. They're often like, you know, is this a bit? You know, am I on TikTok?
Right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
So yes. They're surprised that we just want to have a conversation, but a lot of these guys are like, they're really thirsting
yes.
for the kind of message that we have for them mm-hmm. about loving the whole, how love encompasses the whole person.
The whole person,
it should in any case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's excellent. All right, so we do want to hear all your stories, but before we get into the program, we always open with a prayer. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we're going to go with today's Psalm 15. It's a Magnificat prayer. Lord, who shall be admitted to your tent and dwell on your holy mountain? He who walks without fault, he who acts with justice and speaks the truth from his heart. He who does not slander with his tongue. He who does no wrong to his brother, who casts no slur on his neighbor, who holds the godless in disdain, but honors those who fear the Lord. He who keeps his pledge, come what may, who takes no interest on a loan, and accepts no bribes against the innocent, such a man will stand firm forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
World without end. Amen.
Yeah, so we thought that was a fitting prayer. It fits in with today's theme, right?
Oh, for sure.
And you have a very welcoming approach with the youth. Obviously, it's not going to be chastising them or finger pointing or obviously.
Yeah, surprisingly, we found that that doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So what is your general approach, especially on the beach? Let's start there because we just finished up with that.
Yeah. So as Kiara said, we're starting out by just, you know, asking the question, typically, what do you think love is? We're out here on the beach and we're just wanting to find out from young people, what do you think love is?
Mm-hmm.
We find that that question is really illuminative of kind of like of where they're at.
Yes.
And it really allows us to go a variety of different ways
mm-hmm.
with it. Ultimately, we want to, our goal is to be able to introduce them to the concept of chastity.
Yes.
So a typical conversation, very generally speaking, is going to go from trying to get them to pin down what they find, what they think love is. We introduce, if they give an answer like love is a feeling or, you know, mm-hmm. something vague like that, that's not entirely accurate, we're going to try to get them to love is doing what's best for the other person, that Thomistic definition.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we're like, do you see that kind of love being practiced or promoted in our society today?
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, the answer is no. If they're engaging with us being serious, the answer is no. It's like,
right.
Well, what do you think could be, what should be done, what can be done,
mm-hmm.
you know, to alleviate that. And then that's how we're getting into chastity and talking about how we can have healthy relationships.
Yeah, that's a beautiful approach because it makes them part of the solution. And then, like you said, you're really uncovering and discovering what's going on in their hearts, what's going on in their minds, and what's going on in their day-to-day lives when they're with their peers.
Yeah.
And sadly, I think exactly what you said is oh so true, that they're just not seeing it being lived out and they're just not experiencing it. And the truth is they don't know how to get themselves to chastity a lot of the times, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think obviously like we live in a broken world, you know, even in our best case scenarios, we're still going to struggle with hurting each other. We're still going to struggle with fear, with I'm sure there's people who are going to still use other people. And I think it takes a lot of courage to love, even if you do know what chastity is, even if you do know what true love is. So getting able to have those conversations with people and affirm like what they think about love and like call them even higher and affirm them in all of their struggles or get to listen to some of the hurts they've experienced is really impactful and really beautiful to get to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to have an unhealthy relationship.
No,
so when
right?
you're talking to these guys,
yeah.
you know, very often you'll find that, you know, their relationship foibles can often come from a place of not having the right tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're all about. We want to give them the right tools so that then having the tools, they can then decide if they want to put in the work
right.
to be able to realize those healthy relationships.
Yeah. And how are you seeing the trends change? Let's say you started your ministry. This ministry started, did you say 26 years ago? Just
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a change from 26 years ago to today? Are you thinking it's generally the same issues? But I would imagine today's youth with the AI and the internet and at the speed that the kids are moving
it's
at.
Just, it's the evolution of the sexual revolution. That's
yeah.
That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So it's very different in the sense that in the past, kids were having a lot of relationships.
Yes.
And they were having a lot of premarital sex. And so mm-hmm. they needed to be told, you know, why that's not a great idea.
Yeah.
Nowadays, kids are actually not having near as many relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they need to be encouraged to actually have
mm-hmm.
real physical relationships as in-person relationships.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And instead, we're dealing with a lot of, you know, pornography
mm-hmm.
And social media problems and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we find that a lot. Like the most common answer we get to why those relationships are difficult or why loving is difficult is because of social media. And then we keep
yes.
going even further with that, but we find that for a variety of different reasons. Maybe it's just comparison, maybe it is lust, or maybe it is just the fact that there's so many relationship tips out there, so many people you want to listen to, so just so much information out there in general that it makes living seem a little bit difficult and a little bit overwhelming. Yeah,
exactly. Navigating the world today is not an easy task, right? And it's not easy for parents either. I was having a discussion with Tara earlier saying it's just as challenging for parents as it is for kids because they don't have the tools to navigate their children through these situations always.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you also work with parent population?
We do. One thing we have available on our website, I don't know if it's up right now, but we have a free guide for talking to tips for talking to your kids about chastity.
Yeah.
So we did that up, and we find that people seem to find that helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's all kinds of resources on that beyond just what we have.
Yeah.
But yes, it certainly is a challenge. It's a perennial challenge. But again, with how things have progressed, it's only become more difficult. It's only become more easy to hide kind of what they're doing and the hurt and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah. A lot of people that we speak to are saying in general, however, the positive side of this is that the youth are very responsive. You said that in the beginning. They are hungering for it, and therefore they're open to it.
I like to look at it as, like, in a certain sense, again, I keep going back to the sexual revolution. It's like we're now seeing the fruits of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the youth, they're seeing, like, they see the broken families from their parents,
from their
grandparents' generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize that, you know, the free love kind of thing is just a load of hooey. You know, it's not going anywhere good. And so they want something different than that.
Yes. And we also discussed how the internet is causing terrible loneliness for children. And that's part of your BLAST acronym.
Yeah. Bored, and, lonely, angry, stressed, tired.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what you teach the kids.
We
part
do.
Of the educational tools.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We share with them as a part of our chastity talk when we discuss tips for escaping addiction from, like, pornography, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We love to use
which
the BLAST acronym, bored, lonely, angry, stressed, or tired, because we encourage them when they feel tempted to first take a self-inventory and to ask, how am I really feeling here? Identify that emotion and then do something constructive with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the vices that people are struggling with today are, you know, maybe just you and your device, like they are something that is just promoting that loneliness even more. I think some of the mental side of things can lead people to think, like, oh, I'm the only person struggling with this, or no one knows what I'm going through, or it would be so embarrassing if I told people about this, even though it's extremely common. And that's something I always try to talk about in my talks as well, that, like, the devil's always going to try to tell you that you're alone, that you're the only one struggling, but we're made for community.
This is incredibly incredibly liberating to these students.
Mm-hmm.
We will have students
so
come
beautiful.
Up to us after talks and just want a little bit more, to hear a little bit more about that, because they're struggling with pornography or what have you. And just to be able to tell them to go, you're not struggling
you're not
with
alone.
Anything that is not common to man. And you're not the most evil guy in the world for struggling with that.
Yes.
And it's all in the wanting to overcome it.
Yes.
You know?
So. I've heard it said, you're not the sum of your sins, or you're not your sins, right? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. President Kathleen is always saying, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're made in the image and likeness of God, and life is a gift from God. And these are messages that sound so simple, and they're just not being put out to the youth. They're just not hearing it enough.
Yeah.
They're not.
And I think they go so closely hand in hand, and it's really lost nowadays. Like, the meaning of life is to love. Like, we were made out of love, by love, and for love. And so when you think about, like, you know, a child, maybe the child is not wanted by his parents, or is an unplanned pregnancy situation, like, that child is still so deserving of love and is capable of loving others and just, like, of participating in that continual cycle of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really beautiful when we get to give the pro-life presentation and talk about life as beautiful and the importance of it, and then, like, go right into our chastity presentation and talking about how to love and how worthy we all are of love that, like, encompasses our whole person. Because I really think, like, you can't have one without the other. Like, you can't have life without love.
Exactly. And then how do you incorporate – I mean, we just had a governor who's a self-proclaimed Catholic, and she just signed a bill in Massachusetts, right, saying things like that. Do kids ever question you on those things, or does that not come into play at all?
You know, the the kids don't get terribly political with us. At least from my own experience, the extent to which I've gotten political questions is like, will abortion ever be illegal everywhere? You know, like that kind of thing.
Okay. Or,
and so I've explained before in a Q&A how, you know, with Roe versus Wade being overturned, issue goes back to the states. And so in general, your more conservative states are going to put heavy restrictions on it, outright ban it. Those are typically in the South, you know, and then you're more Pacific Northwest and, of course, New England. Those are heavily liberal areas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's about the extent of it for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the pro-life education is definitely could be increased in general. So our presentations are still a little bit more like explaining the dignity of life, explaining fetal development to kids who really have never heard those concepts before. They've never heard when does life begin. So a lot of them definitely aren't at the stage to know about what's going on politically or ask questions about it.
Okay. Yeah. I just know recently, I mean, there's a lot in terms of gender ideology and there's so many new issues that are coming to the forefront. Do you address those at all or?
Not in our current content, not so much. We're wanting to grow that area of our talks.
Yeah.
Although it is interesting. I have had people who were not, they were, I hate using the lingo, but effectively they were not, they were identifying as gender fluid, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they come up to me after a chastity talk and just very quickly go, I am this.
Yeah, right.
Is mm-hmm. chastity is still for me?
Right.
And so it's kind of neat to me to
that's
be
awesome.
Able to just, I don't need to address the.
Sure, that's actually
what the,
awesome.
What's going on with them. I'm just able to say, of course it is, because it's about self-control. It's about not listening to your base desires. Now, hopefully, Lord willing, they're going to come to an understanding that, you know, the full knowledge of you follow me.
Yeah.
But I really like being able to just still answer
you're
that.
You're a child of God,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And not be like, well, of course not. You're gay.
Right, exactly. Or you're, yeah. Uh-huh. So that's beautiful. That was a beautiful answer. And it's nice. So you are encountering that. But the way that it's playing out is obviously you're a human being, right? We're all children of God, and we all have to work out whatever issues that we're going through. So you kind of took that out of play.
Yeah. And honestly, I find it interesting when someone does that because we're talking in mainly Catholic schools.
Yes.
We sometimes do Protestant. Way back in the before times, we were actually in public schools.
Okay.
The organization started with a grant from the Clinton administration. Go figure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So back when abstinence education was considered desirable by the society at large. But anyway, I do find it, I honor a student who is struggling with that kind of thing and is willing to come up to a speaker at their school and express that.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, you know, the culture of a Catholic school is not going to be approving of you know, how they feel about themselves. So I appreciate
But that's
that.
A very vulnerable position that they just took, right?
It
They're
is.
Telling you, I'm feeling like maybe I'm not worthy of chastity or maybe it's not for me because I'm not mm-hmm. included. I don't count.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, exactly.
And
it really
that's
is
obviously
so
not true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. A lot of beautiful moments in our world.
Yeah.
It definitely keeps
exactly.
us going.
Yeah. Tara and I, ironically, we just wrapped up this whole series and we were doing the Ten Commandments first and we just reviewed them, refreshed them for the listeners. And then we were talking about how a lot of times the root cause is what's in our heart, which would be the vices versus the virtues, right? And just revisiting these things. And I'm sure you guys touch on some of these topics with maybe not necessarily labeling them under those.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, we do love to talk about how chastity is a virtue.
Yeah.
And what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I love to tell the kids, you know, just like how doing bad things, the more you do them, the easier it gets. And the more of yourself you lose, the more of your, you become more of a slave to those desires.
Exactly.
You know, just like with that, the virtues, what's cool about the virtues are the more you practice them, the easier they get to be. And you know, the saint is a person who finds doing what is good to be effortless because that's how far they've advanced in the virtue by God's grace.
Exactly.
So I find that, I find that very encouraging, and I love sharing that with them.
Yeah, that is very encouraging. And I'm always referencing Kathleen, but one thing that she always reminds our listeners is that you may be the only Bible somebody ever reads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful thought. And that's true for children who do try and live out the virtues, right? And they are trying to emulate for their peers, and they are trying to work through this and that leadership. Do you find that when you talk to the groups of kids that there will be one or two that stand out as the leaders, or
all the time?
All the time.
We found that every, at least down the shore, every friend group has a philosopher. They're always like, let's turn to this guy. He's our philosopher. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, no, it's so cool.
And what do they have to say? I mean, they speak for the group, or I mean, do you find like when the leader takes it to one direction, everybody just follows suit? Or
sometimes, but other times I think they're just excited. I don't know, excited for their friend, excited to hear what he has to say. And then we'll follow that up with, oh, well, what do you think about this? And try to get everyone involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
Sometimes the philosophers can have a little bit too much fun with it. And we had a lot of people say love is a mosaic, and they were just describing it as like, you're whole, but also like another person, like they have so many different parts and they complete you to make a beautiful puzzle. Like they were using a lot of artistic ways of describing love, so that was really interesting this year. In particular.
Right.
I think some of the non-philosopher friends have probably never thought about love before. They were like, yeah, I've never thought about this. And that's really the beauty of having those conversations, is that, you know, some people, they did give us a very, you know, Thomistic, very, pretty accurate definition of love. But others, they were like, yeah, I've never thought about that. Or like, why would my opinion on love matter?
And that was
really interesting, too, to see.
I remember the one interaction. It was like two or three, I think it was three, you know, really fit young guys. And we stopped them mid-stride, and they were willing to play ball. They stopped and they heard us, and we asked them what love was. And love was a feeling. I mean, they were like, love's a feeling.
Yeah.
And I kept the conversation going, and I was like, all right, so, you know, if you're doing something nice for your mom, even though you might be inconveniencing yourself, right, you know, so it doesn't necessarily feel good, is that still love? And it's like, they're like, yeah, I guess that is love. And it's like, so love is just a feeling. It was a very simple Socratic kind of interaction. But you could tell the gears were turning.
Yeah.
Love must not just be a feeling.
Right.
And then at the end of that conversation, they said, thank you. Like, we really needed to hear this.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, too, to obviously see them work that out in their heads, like following Anthony's questions, but also to even have right away that feedback that they were really appreciative of being able to think about love that day. So
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful that you guys are out there. You're planting seeds, you're starting the process, they're thinking. The youth, they're amazing, and they're talented, and they're full of energy, and you know, they're the future. They are our future. So it's really important that you guys are addressing all these issues, and you're out there talking, and you're bringing the subjects to the forefront. There's a bunch of organizations out there doing that today, and they are all fruitful. So we thank you for that, because it's highly necessary. And when you're on the boardwalk, you're not in a school setting. So you're going to be hitting kids from all walks of life, from all school, you know, it's not a school environment. So you're free to reach everybody, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and one thing in particular that we do at our beach outreach is we hand out stickers that say "you are worth waiting for" on them, and those, they're really effective. I mean, for me personally, my dad actually used to work for Generation Life when I was little, so I would be like the little kid at beach outreach passing out the stickers.
Oh, that's great.
And I didn't really know much about it. I was too young to really know about Generation Life, but that phrase, like, "I'm worth waiting for," stuck in my head throughout my childhood, throughout my high school years. And you know, sometimes it called me out, sometimes it encouraged me, but it was always just there in the back of my head. So seeing how excited all of the people get to even just like take a sticker, that's really cool, because I know personally the impact that that message can have on someone's life, even if it's just through a sticker.
Yeah. And it's beautiful because it can stay with them. It's a beautiful reminder. They can stick it on their laptop, their phone, their arm, whatever. And then it's a beautiful constant reminder to mm-hmm. keep that message at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so this organization started when you were in Ireland. You were at a pro-life conference in Ireland. That's what the... Your website
not,
said?
Yeah. So not us, but the founders the founder. Of the organization. So as, yeah. as it told me, Mike McMonagle, if you're okay. familiar at all, but mm-hmm. he Mike, conceived yeah. the idea in an Irish pub
okay.
To basically to kind of to have start an organization with missionaries to be able to really expand the work that Molly Kelly
Oh, my, okay.
others had been doing up until
yeah.
that point.
Mm-hmm.
It would really just taken off from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. And then what does your schedule look like? So do you hit universities or are you more high school, middle school?
So for the time being, in the past couple of years, we've been more high school, middle school. We've been really focusing on trying to get into as many of the archdiocesan high schools mm-hmm. here in Philly as we possibly can. And we've made great inroads to that effect. We have multiple of the high schools inviting us back yearly at this point
mm-hmm.
for a speaker series.
Mm-hmm.
And we do occasionally speak on a college campus. It's something that we'd like to look at expanding.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Speak Up? Sorry,
I'm just looking out
my chair. Okay, so it's a little bit of this different idea, but it's the same idea in that it's adults coming together in groups with children to discuss all the topics that are affecting them in today's world. And they actually, the forum, they get to pick their topic. So it might be drugs and alcohol, could be suicide, it could be divorce, whatever topic that they want to pick. And then there's subject matter experts in the room that guide the conversation. And then the kids just learn about.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That
and really they cool. go into a lot of the Catholic schools. And so I didn't know if you had any crossover with them at all. But
not much. The name does sound familiar to me, but I wasn't aware.
Well, what made me think of that was just that the educators in today's world are as in need of this kind of ministry as the parents, as the kids. I mean, everyone is in need of good, solid information
sure.
or how to guide these children and navigate through these. Because schools are having, I mean, do schools express that to you? Are they honest with you about that? About the?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, I was one of those teachers. Before I worked for Generation Life, I was a middle school teacher.
Okay.
And that's one thing that really inspired me toward wanting to do this kind of work with students, was just noticing in my own students how the curriculum at our school that we had didn't really go into the
yeah.
practical struggles that they are
that
dealing
really
with
dealing.
When it comes
mm-hmm.
to, you know, being chased and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't have the guidance that they needed.
Yeah.
So, and where else are they going to get it but at their Catholic school, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
yeah. And the domestic church, right? But it's parents work today and they're busy and they sometimes rely too heavily on the Catholic education to take care of it. And it's not happening there, and it might not be happening in the home.
And
so.
There's this uncomfortable. I mean, there's always been this uncomfortability around anything relating to the birds and the bees. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yes.
Just, so mm-hmm. we are experts at taking this kind of material and packaging it in an
yeah.
age appropriate, effective way
yeah,
for
that's
students.
Beautiful.
So it's, you know, we feel we really come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you do, definitely. Exactly. Listen, we have five children.
In fact, if
my husband and I.
In fact, we have actually had one of our donors, awesome guy. He actually had us in his house to give a chastity talk to his daughter and some of her friends.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I mean, in-house.
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome.
That's how good we are, guys.
Exactly, exactly. That's great. Generation Life coming to you. That's beautiful.
In-home visits.
Yeah. In-home visits, yeah. That's excellent. Well, I'm sure that they, I mean, parents, that would be a huge relief for parents mm-hmm. and teachers, like I was saying. I mean, there's such a vast need.
Yeah. And while obviously, like, we're so grateful for the impact that we do get to have on the students and definitely recommend, like, having us come to speak it, we still can't replace, like, how important it is for the parents to have a good relationship mm-hmm. with their child, like explaining all the biological side of things as well as the theological, as well as the practical. Mm-hmm. And the more we can honestly just make the topic a little bit less taboo and be a little bit more practical, be a little bit more open about it, even just in our personalities with all the staff that have come through Generation Life, like sending them off into the world, like hopefully, you know, we can build an environment where those conversations are able to be had with mm-hmm. love, with safety, with gentleness, and honestly just on a much more everyday kind of scale.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
I love how Christopher West, TOB Institute, I love how he rails against how making sex, the fact that Christians have at all contributed to the idea that sex is icky.
Right.
Or has been such a victory for the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Untold victory.
Yeah.
For the enemy. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We're at the half hour mark, so we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Okay. We are back, and if you're just tuning in, I am Marta Kyle, and I have two lovely guests from Generation Life with us today. This is, I'm going to let you introduce yourselves.
Anthony, the Executive Director.
And yep. I'm Kiara.
Yes. And what's your role, Kiara?
Oh, I'm the Programs Coordinator.
Okay, great. And we spent the first half discussing a little bit about Generation Life, how you approach the youth, your outreach at the beach ministry, and that you also have a classroom ministry, and you were just sharing the aspects of the beautiful fruits of working with the youth, and I'm sure you learn as much from them as they learn from you, right?
For sure.
And
for
we
sure.
were saying how that's going to be true for the educators, the parents, and how this interview today fits in so beautifully with our ministry at In His Sign, because obviously we're passionately pro-life, and it's bringing the fire of God's love to the world. But Kathleen McCarthy, who is the president of In His Sign, has said if we don't get the pro-life message right in this country, and if we don't start moving this country in the right direction according to that message based on what we're seeing in the world today, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Sure.
And you guys are fighting it on the front lines every day with the youth, and that's the most important people to reach right now, because they are the future.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been fed a lot of false information, and they've been indoctrinated into my body, my choice, and I can do what I want, and I can pick my own. I mean, it's pretty intense right now, mm-hmm. the messaging. And you guys are very effective in speaking to the youth, through asking them questions, through explaining what love is, through explaining God's relationship with man and man's relationship with God based in love. And it's not, and you take it away from those issues. You basically remove those obstacles and you stick to what's really important, the core message, which is love and your dignity as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that other stuff kind of just fades out into the background. There are no longer issues that the news and the society and the schools and everyone's so focused on the issue, but you guys have really hit the core.
It is all it's all about clarifying those core assumptions.
Yeah.
Because once you change your core assumptions, you have those established, the right core assumptions, well, then the issues just fall into place.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really beautiful. We have like some student feedback after our talks, and the primary answers the feedback that we get after they learn the talks, like, about what they learned, is that they know that they're worthy of love, or they know that they're not alone. So it's really special, you know, after we give those talks, to see that that is the message that the students are coming away with, that they know they are loved no matter what. They know that they have worth, that they have dignity.
Yes. That's beautiful. And have you ever had, are there stories that come to mind that you would like to share that are the real standout stories? We talked about when you're on the beach, you're not in a classroom setting, you're not in a Catholic setting, you're reaching children from all walks of life, all different ages, in their peer groups, and how that differs from what happens when they're in the classroom. And just in those situations, are there any standout stories for you where that left a lasting impression on you that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah. Do you want to go, Kiara?
Sure. I think primarily the impressions that I got this past summer were that people were really worried whether their opinion of love mattered, or whether their story, whether their experiences with love mattered. And I saw that in a couple different ways. The first example that comes to mind is someone said, like, oh, don't ask me what love is because, like, I'm going through a breakup. Like, so I guess I don't know. And so it was really special to be able to talk to that guy and to his friend. And he even started tearing up. Like, he must have been recent breakup, really going through it. And it was beautiful to be able to tell him, like, whatever you knew about love, whatever you learned about love, like, hold true to it, you know, and we'll tell you about it in even more pure, even like higher form of love in a way, but like, you, who you are is important. Like, you, who you are is enough.
Yeah.
And so it's really beautiful to be able to affirm that in him. And then you see that in other conversations, like some guy was like, oh, like, love is my beer, you know, like that's all he wanted to say. That's all he wanted to talk about it. And then as the conversation went on and we were just getting more into it, he was starting to open up about how, like, he doesn't believe in love anymore because girls just want to use him for his body, or like, once he makes money, they're just going to use him for his money. And I was able to affirm in him, like, that was really good, that he was able to recognize that he was worth so much more than just being used for his body or used for his money, and to recognize that isn't love, that isn't what we're working for, like, what we're working towards. And like, that's good of you to not want to reduce yourself to that standard, and that there is hope in the future.
And then does the conversation ever lead to where you can find companions that are like in alignment with your visions, and they do exist, they are out there? Maybe it's just changing like who you hang out with or where you know.
No, exactly. I mean, even in that conversation, which the vibes were pretty chill, they were pretty silly. So I was happy that we even got there. But he was like, and I definitely wasn't having like a preachy tone with him or anything. I was literally just having a conversation, didn't even say too much on my end. And he was like, after he said that, oh, girls just want me for my body or want me for my money, he was like, oh, like, you probably wouldn't do that. So I don't mean that in an offensive way. And so I think even that recognition that it's not everyone, like, who's out there trying to get you or who's going to use you. And, like, you should stand up against the people who are looking to do that. Like, you should stand for a relationship where you are valued for who you are as a whole person, where you're loved for your body, your soul, your personality, everything about you, the way God loves you.
Yeah.
So I think there was a little bit of that hope of like, okay, yeah, maybe it's not in the relationships that I've been in, but there must be people out there because you're someone talking to me on the beach. So
yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Anthony? Do you have any
Yeah, so a standout moment for me in all of being with Generation Life was speaking at Holy Ghost Prep up in Bensalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that school. I love the atmosphere. I love the boys.
Yeah, that's great.
Joe Dembeck, the campus minister, actually used to work with us before he got that job.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He has us in every couple of years, and it's just great. Some great boys are there. And after one talk I gave a chastity talk, a student came up to me and he wanted to talk to me in private if we could. And fortunately, I had the time in between talks.
Yeah.
So we went into the campus minister's office and he just opened up to me about a very specific situation that he was experiencing in a relationship. And I was incredibly humbled by it. And this was actually only, I'd only been on the job like a couple weeks. Like, I mean, this was pretty new into my thing. I'm like, man, I'm already in it, you know? And he's like, yeah, I don't want to, I don't feel comfortable talking to Mr. Dembeck about this because I see him every day.
Yes,
you know what
right.
I mean?
It's yeah, like, sure.
So to be able to just encourage him and encourage him to not indulge in guilt and shame, to not overindulge in guilt and shame. And
yes.
Off that cliff.
Don't be the sum of your sins, right?
Right,
don't
exactly.
Like identify yourself with.
Mm-hmm. I could see that like I was unburdening this. I was unburdening this guy.
Yeah, that's
and,
beautiful.
And I reminded him that God is his father, that God is his loving father. And the whole idea here behind the rules is that God is just wanting you to be the best person that you can
that
be.
You can
and he
be.
Has this vision for you.
Yes. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a standout moment for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's beautiful. We were saying that we just did this whole series on the Ten Commandments and the vices and the virtues and how you address all of those issues, but you address them in a practical, real world scenario. Mm-hmm. And what you just pointed out, God has a plan for us and he doesn't give us these rules. Like our Catholic faith is so rich. And a lot of times the children just don't understand, and maybe even the parents and adults don't have full formation on the Catholic faith, so they have a different point of view. They think it's just rules, and they think it's old school, and that was for, you know, my grandmother's generation.
I agree with you 100%. I have a theory. I have a theory that in the past, we had a more unified Christian society, universal Christian society, kind of, and I think that we really had more of an innate understanding of goodness and the desirability of goodness and the beatific vision.
Yes.
We'll just call it that.
Yeah.
And so I think that what happened was we don't have that now. And so we're left with a bunch of rules. And mm-hmm. if the rules make sense within the context mm-hmm. of that rich vision for the good,
mm-hmm.
but outside of that context,
right.
it really seems punitive and penal, and
mm-hmm.
because we lack that. I had a student once ask
yes.
me. I had a student once ask me, "Why do I even care about going to heaven? Like
ooh,
why?
Yeah.
Like why?
Mm-hmm.
You know
right.
what I mean? Other than just I don't want to be tortured forever.
Right?
Like, what other than that? You know?
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like God's you know got a gun to his head.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Perceived that way, it's very
yes,
you know
it's, mm-hmm.
very just nasty. You know, very
mm-hmm.
nasty.
Right.
But the gospel is the good news. So obviously something's wrong. Something's wrong
right.
there. If that's the picture we're getting. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I love how you approach the kids, you approach through questions, you approach through love, you approach, and they are opening up, no problem. You're not having
mm-hmm.
a lot of resistance. They have answers, they have concerns, their hearts are full,
mm-hmm.
and they actually want the direction, they want the guidance. Even Carlo Acutis is a beautiful saint of today's time, and I know a lot of schools are pushing the Carlo Acutis message because he was youth and he's very relatable
mm-hmm.
and he was handsome and he liked video games and he liked soccer and he liked all the things that
mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful addition, all of these little seeds that God's allowing to be planted. He's working powerfully through Generation Life, he's working through this ministry, he's working through the ministry with Carlo and the But again, I think the educators and the parents and the it's so important that we all get on board and try and get this movement
for sure.
Exactly.
Taking root.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think all the relationships are really important, whether that's, you know, your priest with the student or whether that's the parents of the student. teacher with a student, but it is definitely a special privilege to, as someone like who's not even married myself, to be giving a chastity talk and talking about things using examples from my personal life a little bit. Like I mentioned earlier about the impact that the I'm Worth Waiting For slogan had on my life, and to really just like be present with the students in what they're going through. And I'm a little bit older. Obviously, I'm not in middle school. I'm not in high school anymore. But still, I mean, like, we're called to similar things in our vocation, like not being married. And I think that's really special. And even for like our speakers who are married, like they share stories from their personal life, from things that they've gone through. They just have that added like beauty of look how good things worked out. And I think that's really impactful. And probably a lot of the reason why students do feel comfortable talking to us is because we approach it from a really personalistic,
yes,
this is my experience, this is how it benefited my life, like, mm-hmm, I want to share it with you because I care about this.
Yeah, it's actually, you're not that far out of college, so you can relate to the college age students, mm-hmm, and even the high school age students, because they're so eager to get to college and they have a certain idea of college and what college, a lot of kids, let's put it, I mean, think college is party, it's, mm-hmm, freedom, it's fun, it's, you know, I said Villanova just moved in. I mean, you're going to hear the music going, and sometimes while we're on air, you hear the music going, and the beer pong being played in the yard, right? So there's a lot of, you can have fun, though. You can have fun and keep it clean and keep it, so... You can speak to that because you're young. I mean, I'm sure anybody can speak to that, but it's nice. But like the youth love to hear from,
yeah,
the youth. And
yeah.
Yeah.
The Do you glory have any? Of God is manfully alive.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely, I think just through the way we incorporate our personality, like through personal stories in our talks, I think all of our presentations really are engaging and enjoyable. Like, we have a good time talking,
yeah,
to the students too.
Yeah.
And I think it's, yeah, contagious for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really special. This one time in particular, I was feeling a little bit down, like a little bit discouraged, you know, like,
yes,
honestly, like struggling with some self-doubt, like who am I to be getting up here in front of these students, like telling them all this stuff. I'm just, you know, a broken person as well. And after I gave my talk, like, it felt kind of dry. I just didn't have the energy I normally do. These seventh grade boys came up to me and they were like, they were honestly happy about it to talk to me. They were like, yeah, we really struggle with that. And I was like, okay. And so then we were talking about it, and somehow it turned into reciting the Rocky speech together.
Oh, that's awesome.
We were talking about how, you know, like it's not about how many times you fall, like it's about picking yourself up, like going to confession, like trying again, you know, to give up the vices that you're struggling with, to put yourself in a better environment, to focus on the parts of your heart that need healing or the parts of your life that you need to pour into a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it was really special, I think, because through their just genuine enthusiasm that like they could be able to conquer what they're going through, mm-hmm, it was also very encouraging to me, you know, like I feel like,
yes,
we were all encouraging each other. We were,
yeah,
we were reciting that Rocky speech together.
I
mean, we all
great.
Left with a smile on our face. Yeah.
Yeah. God is very good that way, right? Mm-hmm. He works in us and through us, mm-hmm, and in spite of us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. And I'm surprised that the kids are so open with the topics of, it could be gender ideology, it could be pornography, drinking, drugs. Do you get into drugs at all? Drinking, drugs, alcohol, how that influences behaviors and decision making, or do you just not go into that area?
Yeah, not really. We
no.
don't really.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't really approach.
So it's really chastity,
there.
Love.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that in part some of their openness, I'm theorizing, stems from the fact that they're in school and that environment is very restricted on, you know,
what
kind of content they're getting.
They're getting.
You know, it's very,
mm-hmm,
you know, the word's escaping me, but I mean, you know what I mean with.
Yes.
So very regulated. So
yeah.
To have someone come in who's like, we're going to talk about, you know, sexuality.
Yeah.
We're going to do it in a very, you know, not in a scandalous way, but we're going to talk about it very just, we're not afraid and we're going to
yeah.
be very practical
gonna...
about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's very refreshing to students.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then do you bring theology of the body in at all, or are you just...
Oh, for sure.
Touch
yeah.
it. Yeah,
our,
okay.
We're very much formed by, our content is very much formed by JP2's Theology of the Body.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how do you approach that topic with the kids? Do you get, like, do you?
So it's usually, we kind of usually weave it in. We don't identify
right,
it.
Right, that's, okay.
We try to make it as, we're trying to be as, oh, that's the other thing that's appealing mm-hmm. about us. We try to make it as unacademic as
sure.
possible.
Well, exactly. It's deep, otherwise you'd lose the audience,
it's deep
right?
content, yeah. but we're cloaking. yep. We got to cloak it, you know?
Yes,
but,
yes.
But we do, we actually talk about how, how the body has its own language.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of another reason why we don't want to engage in premarital sex or promiscuity is because we're communicating something with our bodies by
yeah.
doing that. And so we're actually communicating to the person that we are totally theirs.
Right.
And so we want to be honest. The idea is we want to be honest with our bodies.
Yes.
So that's, yeah, that's that kind of almost verbatim is a part of our chastity talk.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the theology of the body was obviously a big influence on why I'm here, and I love it. So
yeah.
So I like to share a little bit about the differences between men and women having the receptive nature, men having the more active nature, and a little bit of like how that played out in the fall of Adam and Eve and like what that means for us practically, because that story, like understanding that story, was really impactful for me in knowing like, okay, well, I hear of chastity as a good thing, but like, why do we even have it? Like,
yeah, right.
What really is the importance? What is the significance? Like, why is it even here?
Yes.
So I think people really appreciate getting to hear that as well. So while we don't come at it directly from a, you know, this is what you have to do because
sure,
God
because,
says so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Like, yeah. This is the practical application of what we've been going over all summer. And it's kind of fun. It's so fun to have encountered you guys.
Oh,
and
you.
Yeah, have had this time together today because it's beautiful. And then I love the seeds that are being planted. I love that the youth is so receptive, that they're so open. Just the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to start this movement, right? You said it started in a pub, in an Irish pub. So that was clearly inspired. So even if you're sitting having a pint or you're, you know, out on the boardwalk with the kids and they're sitting having a pint, like even though they shouldn't be.
It's like Christopher West says about the coffee cup. If you go way down to the bottom of what you love about that coffee,
yeah.
You will find Jesus.
You will see that. That's awesome. Yeah. So it's very beautiful. And if there's any, I mean, you have a website.
GenerationLife.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can schedule a talk on there.
Yeah.
Get in touch with us. And what we're doing lately is getting ready to relaunch our missionary program.
Okay.
So back in the... for a good while back in the early 2000s after we started, we had up to 30 missionaries who were doing this work, and they were self-fundraising their salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, and then we had a period of time where we kind of downsized. We actually just had our paid staff who was both running the organization and doing the speaking.
Right.
And so now we're finally at a point in our life cycle here as an organization where we can relaunch the missionary program. And we're doing so in partnership with the Pro-Life Union.
Okay.
So they've given us a grant to be able to actually provide salaries to our missionaries.
Right.
And they're going to be praying outside of Planned Parenthood, helping at pregnancy resource centers,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, continuing our work among students in the schools. So if you or someone you know is interested, please get in touch with us, and you can find out more on our website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And it is towards the end of the show, but if anyone wants to call in, you know the number is 610-527-2906. And if you have any questions for these beautiful Generation Life advocates, then feel free to call in and share your questions and or your stories. I don't know if anyone's have you ever come across a situation where you might, I mean, this is offbeat, but like, you know, the child that you're approaching in terms of like when you're on the beach or the boardwalk, have you ever had a situation mm-hmm. where they're like family or
yeah.
friends or so it becomes awkward or
definitely not awkward.
It's not
for
awkward.
Me,
okay.
But I ran into some people. They're probably not listening, but I always like to talk to them. And especially it was a group of girls. So I think even then to get to, you know, have the conversation with them. Obviously a little bit more informally because they're my friends. I know a little bit about the relationship stuff already.
Yeah.
But just get to talk to them and affirm them is always really beautiful.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And I think the same for like with my siblings. I have a lot of younger siblings. So when when I practice my talks, like talking it over with them and like hearing their feedback or getting to answer their questions, I think one of the blessings of getting to work in this field is that it just makes you all the more open to having conversations with anyone in your life about these topics.
Yeah, which is beautiful. And the topics need to be addressed with children younger and younger and younger and younger. I mean, it's amazing when you said that. I was like, wow, you're probably getting a great perspective from all the different age groups because it has to change. If you're in fifth grade, it's going to be a little different than eighth grade, which is going to be different than a sophomore or a rising senior or something.
We've been asked more than once if we have material for elementary age
students.
Oh
my gosh, isn't that unbelievable? Yeah.
Which is definitely something we would enjoy exploring. But the need is definitely there because you can start learning about your worth. You should start learning about your worth as soon as you can comprehend.
Yes. And in a positive, beautiful way, like we said. Instead, they're being inundated with you go to the pediatrician's office. I don't know if you've been there lately and read the questionnaires that these parents fill out or that these kids are asked these questions. And they're being indoctrinated there's ideas that are being planted in their minds and in their hearts that's very confusing for them, which is why I was saying earlier, parents, doctors, everybody needs this kind of outreach and this kind of education. So
absolutely.
We really do appreciate all the work you're doing and for coming in today and explaining for the outreach to the youth, because they're going to be, they are our future. I can't say it enough. So
we're so grateful to have gotten to learn more about your organization and to partner with you in all this pro-life work together.
Yes, I'm sure you'll see the McCarthy family. They're all super pro-life and they pray outside the... Yeah, and you went to Steubenville?
Yes, I went to Franciscan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I know, I keep calling it Steubenville.
Oh, yeah,
Franciscan,
either way, yeah.
But
well, arguably, that's the only thing in Steubenville.
Yeah. Exactly. But they're growing leaps and bounds.
Exactly, yeah. Every time I go back, new buildings, new dorms, so many good things going on there. Definitely love the education. I majored in human development and family studies
for
psychology, but I got a lot of theology of the body education through obviously the classes I was taking or just through my friend groups, through my household, which was Crown of Creation.
Okay.
A lot of theology of the body education discussion there.
That's beautiful.
I was really grateful.
Yeah, and you have beautiful leaders there. It's Scott Hahn.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Did you ever get to meet him or have any interaction?
I didn't have a class with him personally because I was a psychology major, not necessarily theology.
Okay.
But
yeah.
he was instrumental in one of my friend's conversion. My friend was confused about some things in his theology class, and he wasn't getting good conversation with whoever his professor was. So he was like, I'm going to go to Scott on himself.
Yeah. So well, what an opportunity.
He answered his questions, found him on the way to Mass one day, and my friend came back to the church. So
that's
was really
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yes. So if you have any parting messages, I know you shared your website and you're active in the schools and at the shore. And when you go to the beaches, I guess you don't announce that you're coming to the beaches, do you? Or is that something that's you just kind of walk out on the beaches and you find it's authentic, it's very organic in its approach, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no warning.
Exactly. Maybe you guys should hit spring break. That should be your next should hit some of the spring break spots and
head down to Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Have you tried that yet? You're not going to go there.
No, that would be something. That would be something else.
That would really be
Wild
something else.
On steroids.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We'd have plenty of stories to come back and tell you all after.
That would be a whole new set of education. So that's actually great. Well, thank you again for joining us today. We cannot thank you enough. And the fruits of your labor are, you're going to see them spread far and wide. And I hope it would be great for people who have had encounters with you to email you or to share their stories about how just that small encounter at the beach or in the classroom has actually changed the direction of their life. Wouldn't that be fruitful?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, if you could see those fruits. So if anybody has a child who has had these encounters and went home and shared, it would be awesome for them to for you to be able to capture their stories, right?
Yeah, we don't often get to see the fruit of
the
our
fruit
work,
of your work.
When
yeah,
when we do, it's a real blessing.
Yeah, so. But it's definitely fruitful, and you're definitely making an impact. And thank you, thank you,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, yeah. And we invited you to our golf outing. It's everyone mark your calendars. It's October 12th. And it's at Old York Country Club. And please make sure to stay tuned for Dr. Anton Raimondo. He's coming up next. He always has a beautiful show to share with everybody. And that's pretty much a wrap.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Join us again next week as we explore scripture reflections, personal stories, and practical encouragement, leading us to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord."